Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Welcome to it. Hail Varsity Radio's on the road today. We're presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are at Bellevue West, home of the Thunderbirds, in a big district final matchup tonight. Lincoln Southeast on the road against a fantastic squad in Bellevue West. Southeast played Bellevue West a little bit earlier this season, so a chance to go to state happens tonight. We'll have that coverage beginning at 7 o'clock. Myself and Hall of Fame coach Jeff Smith. Got up here a little early to do the show on the road. Love doing that. Elijah Herbel's back at our ESPN Lincoln studios. Let's get to the news of the day, and that is J.D. Spielman, not with the Nebraska football team right now. We'll spend plenty of time the next couple of hours on that. You can join us. Dial us up at 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Can find us on Twitter at Schmidt underscore radio. Chris Schmidt, that's me, or Elijah Herbel at Herbel Essences, and fire off an email if you like. We'll talk with Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLer and podcast extraordinaire, as well as co-host of Big Red Wrap-Up. Jay's coming up in about 15 minutes or so. In hour two, Charlie McBride, Mr. Blackshirt, will join us another Monday with Charlie. We'll get coach's thoughts on spring ball, on Spielman, and the Davis twins as they wowed in the NFL Combine. And Jacob Padilla also going to check in around 5:25, football and hoops thoughts with him. So what you have here is J.D. Spielman taking what Nebraska has called a temporary absence from the football program. Going to miss spring practices, and you've maybe seen it. You've heard bits and pieces of it. Let me just give you the official release from Keith Mann. And this is the commentary. J.D. Spielman is dealing with a personal health matter currently, and at this time is not expected to participate in spring practices. That from Scott Frost this morning around 10:30. Everyone's focus right now is on J.D.'s well-being and providing him with the appropriate support. We anticipate J.D. returning to the team in time for summer conditioning. Nebraska does not expect Spielman's eligibility to be affected by his temporary absence. Also, last week we touched on Barrett Pickering moving on, and also now you have Javon McQuitty. Both plan to retire from football and pursue medical exemptions. Matt Waldock going to do school and club soccer. That is what you need to know. We're a week away from spring football. That gets started a week from today. So where is Nebraska at? And the reaction has been this, really, quite frankly, oh no. Oh no. One thing you've not had with Nebraska football the last several years, pre-Frost and the last two seasons, has been consistency. You've had some bright moments, you've had some tough moments, but you've not had consistency in your football program as they're trying to get above 500. They're trying to get postseason eligible. They're also trying to build a culture and a way to do things, right? That you don't just flip a house in a day unless you're watching HGTV, apparently. The one consistent puzzle piece of Nebraska football on offense has been J.D. Spielman. And to have him take a temporary absence, that's no good. Now, from a health standpoint, best wishes, good luck, God bless to J.D. Spielman to get right, to get back to being J.D., right? Whether or not he plays football again, just care that the kid's happy and healthy. That's all I care about. But from a football aspect, you know what he's done. I mean, he has set records. He's put up 800-plus receiving yards in 3 years, and he is a matchup nightmare What this says to me, it may be temporary today, but I think this is long term. Elijah Herbel can rerun this audio in August and say, Schmidt, you were an idiot. Spielman's back and ready to go.
Now, I'll put this one in the hot takes folder.
I hope he's back catching footballs from Adrian Martinez. I think this is thanks for coming, so long, I'm out. So why is this happening? Why is J.D. Spielman taking a temporary leave here? Well, from a health standpoint, you want to get right. From a personal standpoint, we don't know much about the guy. I know he was a lacrosse guy that Riley got to play football, and I know he redshirted in 2016, and I know in the horror show that was the Ohio State game in 2017, I know J.D. Spielman had 11 catches for 200 yards against Ohio State talent. I know that J.D. Spielman in 2018 lit up Wisconsin, 9 catches for 209 yards. I know J.D. Spielman put the team on his back with Wandale Robinson against the Illini and willed that team to a comeback victory. And without J.D. Spielman, you don't have 5 games. I know J.D. Spielman made monster plays against Colorado and Indiana. He is an incredible player in the slot, and he is so good at stretching the seam, and he's been a big-time producer for Nebraska football. Your offense took a monster hit today. Can it overcome it? Sure. But of the concerns you have for 2020, let's go through them. Schedule, quarterback, defense, special teams. One thing you didn't want to talk about was what's going to we're going to talk about wide receiver, right? Because it's so thin. But the one known quantity you had was a guy who's cranked out 3 seasons of 800 receiving yards. You have a new position coach in Coach Matt Lubick, and he has done well at different spots as wide receivers coach. But there is baptism by fire time with what you have, and the other part of this is 10 wide receivers from 2018 to 2019. Dominic Watt, Andre Hunt, Darian Chase, Miles Jones, McGriff, Mike Williams, Woodyard, Noah, McQuitty. Now Spielman, 31 catches. That's it. Great story you need to read from Derek Peterson of HailVarsity.com on this. Also Brandon Vogel with some commentary. So is Nebraska SOL at the receiver spot? No. But you felt great about having a guy in Spielman in the offense moving forward as a really big-time difference maker when you pair him with a Wandale, when you pair him with guys that you hope have good springs, that need to have good springs in young talent in Demarion Houston and Jamie Nance. You have Alante Brown coming in. The word is that kid's pretty put together, can come in and do some good things. Well, that's probably a necessity now. Omar Manning, Xavier Betts, incredible talents. They need to get to Lincoln. Fleming, the kid out of Miami, is a talent. Will Nixon from Waco. So you have bodies here, but you have no experience or proven results. Cade Warner, man, keep Cade Warner in some bubble wrap so that guy can catch the football and block people. Here's the other part of this here, and we'll hear from Scott Frost in a moment. And we talked with Greg Smith just Friday about this. You know, is there some more smoke with Spielman? What's the deal? And that was the speculation here. There's a ton of rumors and innuendo and coffee shop talk about Spielman at the end of the year. Was he going to take off? Was he going to go to the NFL? Is he going to transfer? Well, I don't have his transcripts in front of me. It does not sound like that Spielman's a guy that can get a grad transfer knocked out. But how happy is he at Nebraska? How happy is Nebraska with him? Well, when it comes to Saturdays, Nebraska's got to be 1,000% happy with J.D. Spielman. What about the Monday through Friday? Don't know. How is he in the locker room? How is he as a teammate? Where's he at mentally with Tony Butler and McQuitty leaving the program, two guys he was close with. Where's he at mentally with this transition? And it's not just year one. I gave it a try with Coach Frost in this offense and I'm out. He's put 2 years in, so there's got to be some sort of disconnect going on. They talk about a health issue. That's why he's stepping away. But, you know, what happens here? I don't think Spielman's back. I think he's gone. And I wish him nothing but the best. Does he retire from football? Does he love football? That's also a question. And if he just wants to step away, good on him. If he's a guy that, when we look at this immediate transfer waiver rule that the NCAA could approve this summer, how do you react as a Nebraska fan if Spielman's back and all better and gets an immediate transfer and he ends up playing for Fleck in Minnesota? That was also the talk, that JD wants to transfer to Minnesota. Again, that's not reported or substantiated. It was thrown out there by a Minnesota media member. Lots to uncover here. And if you're Scott Frost, you're putting work in to try and build the program mentally and physically the right way. There's talk of buy-in. How bought in was Spielman? Well, Spielman took enough IV fluids to go out and in a game that you didn't need him, but he kicked butt in at Maryland, was there for you. He's been there for you every showdown against Wisconsin. He played pinata over the middle on horrible throws that he made incredible big-time catches. So he's a guy you need. And if push comes to shove, if I'm putting the headset and the hat on, I find every and any way to get him back because I think he's that important to you. If there's just an agree to disagree from a philosophy and an approach to football and he's a guy that you can't have or don't want around your program, if that is indeed an issue, and I don't know that, then you tell him good luck and go somewhere else. You still need him. You still want him. And I don't know that it's a guarantee at all that you're going to have some guys ready to step up and perform and produce one guy, let alone a collection of guys. You could. You've got some talent that's waiting in the wings, but how ready-made is that talent? Let's hear from Scott Frost. Elijah, you jump in as well after this, your thoughts on it. But a big blow for Nebraska, the one consistent part of your offense now gone, at least temporarily, for JD, with J.D. Spielman. Here's Coach Frost earlier in the recruiting cycle, touching on the wide receiver room and Spielman. It looked like things, at least in December, were okay with Nebraska and Spielman.
That's one position, I think, wide receiver, where we need to improve. Obviously, we have a couple really good pieces. JD's been a phenomenal player around here for a long time, and we're lucky to have him back another season. I'm excited to coach a guy that could be the all-time leading receiver in Nebraska history and have a piece of that as his coach. Really impressed with his toughness and what he's done for his entire career in Nebraska. Obviously, Wandale, everybody saw what he can do this year. We're excited about what he can bring next year. I think we got a lot of young receivers in the program already that we're excited to work with.
So all of that true, and Frost not bashful about saying, hey, man, we're lucky to have a guy like Spielman in the program, but it's just odd. And, you know, Spielman, you heard me touch on the statement that Nebraska released. They're not worried about his eligibility. The guy can take classes and will be taking classes, presumably online. If he's away from football and not doing spring ball, can he crank out enough credit hours to get grad transfer eligible? I mean, the way I look at this is I think his time at Nebraska is done. I think he's ready to move on from Nebraska, and I think that's a shame because he was an important part for Nebraska. The other side of that coin, if there was some frustration on one side or the other, coaches or player or coach, and you couldn't exist together, and I don't know that. I'm just throwing out things that could be reasons for this, then it's time to part ways. And you hope you can get guys developed with your new wide receivers coach. Elijah, we're not super shocked by this, but it's still kind of a shock that your known commodities no longer here, at least temporarily.
It's not a shock, but it's a disappointment. It's I woke up this morning, read the news, and was like, that's a big talent just gone. Because you thought
a lot of smoke around this, though, you know.
And where there's smoke, there's usually fire. But I was excited to see the prospects of having Omar Manning, J.D. Spielman, and Wandale Robinson be the starters out there at wide.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, and listen, it goes beyond, and of course, Manning and Betts are big time talents that need to get school fixed up, and they're working hard to do so to be able to play. But you got an Alante Bryan, you got a Fleming. You've got guys that were going to be there to help Spielman. I mean, just the conglomerate of wide receiver options, you saw what the passing offense could be when you had a guy like JD and Stanley Morgan. I mean, that was a bright thought for Nebraska fans offensively. And, of course, you see Wandale out there, who's been pretty big time and been as good as advertised. So Nebraska will have options. Can those options be as good as Spielman if he doesn't return? We'll get Jay Moore's thoughts on this. We'll get his take on the Davis twins, their performance in Indy. We're here at Bellevue West, live on the road, Monday ahead of the district final between Bellevue West and Southeast. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
All-State, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or, El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Mike with you here at Bellevue West as some guys are warming up right now from distance. They look like Jay Moore from three-point land, and that's a compliment. We say hi to Blackshirt NFLer Jay Moore, and his podcast is going to be incredible on Hail Varsity. And, of course, you watch him on Big Red Wrap-Up. Jay, the news of the day, I was going to talk to you about the Davis twins. We still will. But J.D. Spielman temporarily gone from the program. Leave of absence, a health departure here. What's your take on this, man? What's your read? You've been around locker rooms. You've been around transitions in the football program. This would have been year three for J.D. in Scott's program. It still could be. But, man, this is the one known quantity you had on offense coming back that's been pretty healthy. I mean, he's played in 33 of his 36 games.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's very concerning. This is a guy that is and can be and could be a very effective weapon within this offense. Didn't have as good as a year last year. I mean, obviously with Stanley being gone, you know, I think the sole focus kind of went to JD and stopping him and. You know, and Wandale wasn't, you know, available most of the year and was unhealthy. So very, very concerning. You want what's best for the young man. You want him to be able to be, you know, right mentally and be in the right place. Obviously would love to have him back, but with that being said, it's tough. You know, you go back to what, just, you know, 3-4 months ago, there you have the rumors of, you know, he's potentially plan on transferring, you know, go to Minnesota. You know, obviously he still hasn't graduated yet, so he just up and can't, graduate transfer. So some things, there's obviously some writings on the wall here, but hopefully he can get these dealt with and he's back. Now he's back in the summer and he's able to go through summer conditioning and can participate in the fall. But I tell you what, in a room that hasn't gotten a ton of production out of the wide receiver group. You lose arguably one of your best ones, and the guy that's produced you the most, the best results. It's tough, but hopefully, first and foremost, he gets right, and he'll be back this fall. But we shall wait and see.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at JayMoore44 on Twitter's where you follow him. How would you take that as a teammate if a guy needed some time away? And you had teammates that stepped away for a little bit for one reason or another and came back. The door's open, but I don't know about you, Jay, but I think, great, it's open, but it's going to get shut rather at some point in time. I don't think he's back. I don't think he's back ever.
Yeah, I mean, I'd lean that way as well. You know, if he was, you know, wanted to be a part of this team, you'd work through whatever issues you have going on here in Lincoln. You'd work through it. You'd want to be around your teammates. You'd want to be around your coaches. You'd want to be around whoever your friends that you've developed here in town. You wouldn't want to leave. I know whenever I was, you know, I can't say I was ever dealing with too many things, but when I was, I sure as hell was a lot better around guys and team and being in practice and being in workouts, because you forget about all the issues you may have when you're around the guys. So it's very concerning. I would agree. I hate to jump to conclusions and say he's not. I mean, but again, it's concerning the fact that he doesn't want to work through him with guys on the team. Guys, he's very close with, but obviously that isn't the case. So that's definitely concerning in my mind. I would have to agree with you. If I was a betting man, I would say it's probably, you know, 75-25. That maybe it's more like 80-20 that he is not coming back. It's unfortunate. You want to make sure he's right, and this is, you know, you just want to make sure he's doing the best thing for JD. But again, like I said, if he was working some stuff, you'd think he'd want to be around his teammates and coaches to get through some of these issues, and not step away and go back up to Minnesota. So that's pretty telling in my mind.
I thought about the topic of loving football. Guys can love the game to varying degrees. I mean, guys can step away and get recharged. I mean, everyone burns out at some point. How did you juggle or deal with guys that were great at something but maybe didn't love it? And Spielman, whenever the lights are on, brother, he balled. He was great, and he was great in big games. He was great in non-conference games. I mean, all the guy did was play his ass off, and he played his ass off, and he played hurt, and he did it all when it came time to show up. So when it came to putting it on the line for his teammates during the game, dude was outstanding. But as far as the Monday through Friday part of things, I don't know. I'm not there at practice. Something that may be an issue here?
Well, it's you better love it. You got to love it to go through the rigors of being a student athlete or a professional athlete. It's a grind. It's a grind Monday through Friday. It's, you know, the best part is Saturday, but that's only one day. That's only a few hours. It's not fun. Going through training camp sucks. Going through spring ball sucks. You know, going through those hard practices, you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then having to deal with class and whoever knows what else. It's not easy. You better love it to make it work, because it's not easy. And it's surprising that it's taken him this long. I mean, obviously he's enjoyed it to some extent. Otherwise, you know, he wouldn't have gone through this. But again, if he just can't deal with it or has had enough, I get it, man. I hated football at one time too, and that was, you know, after about 4 years of playing professionally, I did not like the game anymore. That's because I experienced the business side of it professionally. I totally get it. And if he doesn't, you know, if that's an issue, then hey, I mean, there's nothing worse than if you don't want to be out there and you're trying to make your parents happy or someone happy. That's tough to deal with. That'd be hard. So first, you know, if that's, you know, you want him to be right. You want to do what's right for him. But you better love it to make it through, because it's not easy. It's not for everyone. You know, Saturdays are one thing, but I tell you what, you got to be fully engulfed in it to make it through Monday and Friday to Monday through Friday to get to Saturday. Otherwise, you won't be around long.
Jay, let's switch gears. What the Davis twins do for themselves with their 40, with their bench press? You've been a guy that got a nickname from Marshawn Lynch at the NFL Combine way back when. Give us your take on the twins and Darian, and a thought on Lamar as well. I mean, the four Husker kids that were in Indy this weekend.
Yeah, obviously what the Davis twins did, I mean, that was eye-opening. That was shocking. I mean, that's, you know, you set records like that and, you know, running sub 4.8, around right 4.8 being 300 pounds. I mean, it's impressive when you can crack 5, but you get 0.2 below that. That's very impressive. Good for them. They potentially, you know, arguably could have went from, you know, undrafted to now being drafted, you know, with those results. So that shows you, you know, the what they're able to do. It's a little, I mean, it's a little puzzling to me. It's like, gosh dang, you know, I know Khalil, you know, did, you know, perform, but it's also, it's like, man, you feel like with those numbers and stuff, it should add them to doing more, but I know they're probably playing a little out of position. I do think they're a 4-3 defensive tackle. They're not built to be playing the 3-4. I just don't think that's them. So I'm happy for him, man. I tell you what, that's what you want. You prepare for so, you know, for months, you know, 2 days grinding, and you finally get the opportunity to shine. And they did. They're gonna be able to make some money off of this, and they're gonna get a chance. They're getting an opportunity. They bettered their opportunity. They were always gonna get an opportunity, but now you bettered your opportunity to where, you know, you're gonna get a little more money up front in that signing bonus, and they might buy themselves an extra year or two in the league, because you know, the higher, you know, the earlier you get drafted, that, you know, you teams will be patient with you in the league much longer than say a fifth to seventh round pick, even an undrafted guy, obviously. So happy for them. They did a hell of a job, all four of them. You know, I know Lamar probably isn't happy with his 40 time that he ran early on. I know he was able to get a faster time, but he's a bigger-bodied guy. You know, I'm sure he'll run again at Nebraska's pro day and probably beat that by, you know, maybe another half a tenth of a second or even a tenth of a second. Who knows? He's going to get drafted mainly off of his size and his abilities and his potential. But all four guys, they did their thing. They showed up and like I said, they betted their opportunity going forward, and that's all you can ask for.
Got about 90 seconds left with Jay Moore here on Hail Varsity Radio. Jay, I know that those 40 times are going to draw the attention of the public and scouts, but for Khalil and Carlos Davis, how much does a 40 time like that actually matter when you're playing football?
You know, it's funny. It's the 40 time is what, you know, it's the sexiest thing that people like to look at. They love to see those times, and that's what gets people paid. It's surprising. I know. Usually for D linemen, it's your 10-second split, but if you're going to run fast, you're going to run a fast 10-second. It's going to move them up. It is. It's just a sexy thing that scouts and front office people love to pay attention to, because you know what? When you get to that level, you're not getting faster for the most part. You can't teach speed. That's one thing that's can't be developed once you're at that spot. So they're going to love that. Obviously, they pay attention to bench press net levels and vertical jump. That shows your power, your ability to, you know, accelerate. But the 40, that's what you get paid on. That's what people get paid on. That's what people pay the most attention to for some reason is that. So you obviously want to perform well in there. And they, like I said, they did themselves a favor by running fast, so they're going to get a little more money in their bank account come, you know, late April, early May, or I shouldn't go that far. You know, once they finally sign on the dotted line, and maybe more in June and July on that contract. So good for them, and yeah, it's a sexy thing for that 40. Those front office people love to pay attention to it.
Jay, 2 seconds. The name of your podcast, real quick for folks again when they get ready for spring ball.
Yeah, it's going to be called More To It, obviously M-O-O-R-E to it, and I got three recorded already. Got the fourth getting recorded on Thursday. We got Doak Ostergaard's already been recorded. We got Kenny Bell's already been recorded, and Bo Rude's already been recorded. So we'll have, and I'll work on my Thursday with retired Navy SEAL Jack Riggins, who has been working a lot. He's worked a lot with John Cook and Tim Miles and Bo Pelini, and works with Coach McDermott up in Creighton, so it will be good. It'll be good to get some good stories from Jack. So we'll have a bunch ready to go here next week when this thing gets launched.
Jay Bird, thanks for the time, brother.
Yep, you got it. Thanks, guys.
And now back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you here at Bellevue West, Hale Varsity Radio Roadshow Monday ahead of the Bellevue West Lincoln Southeast Boys District game. That'll be 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN Lincoln. Myself and Jeff Smith. The news of the day, J.D. Spielman no longer with the Nebraska football program temporarily. And the door open for him to come back. Do you think Spielman makes it back to Nebraska? Is he back with the team this summer? I think for the Nebraska's offense, you need him back. I think from a personal standpoint, if J.D. Spielman's dealing with some health stuff and needs to be with his family, you take as long as you need, J.D., to be with your family and get right, my friend. That's all I care about. But just not a great look for Nebraska with their top known commodity and proven performer no longer part of the team. Yeah, you have options and you have talent at the wide receiver position, but he's the one guy that has gotten it done more times than not for you. 466-3776, 466-ESPN, can dial up 800-825-5865. We will have a Zach Brown review from myself and Elijah Herbel before we get into Coach McBride in about 20 minutes. Also, Jacob Padilla is going to join us. A thought or two here on Nebraska basketball. So I caught a lot of the second half. I was at Junior's basketball, and I saw Nebraska's 16-4 run, was watching my phone while he was in and out of the lineup. Went and visited my grandmother, so I missed overtime. But I found out that Nebraska lost in overtime from my father down in Arizona, sending me a text message I cannot share on air due to language use.
Was it related to free throw shooting?
It was.
Yes.
It was. The entire state is on the same page with my father when it comes to free throw shooting. Here is Fred Hoiberg. The mayor needs a windowless, cameraless room, a giant caning stick, and a pinata. I feel for this guy. He, granted, he's paid, and he's paid well to have to watch it. But the point remains, he still has to watch it. That's his product. We know it'd be bad and tough and up and down this year for Nebraska basketball. We didn't know it'd be this painful. We were all thinking maybe 15-18, maybe 12-19. Well, point is they're not at 12. They're working on 14 straight. Michigan looms, Minnesota looms, Northwestern has swept you. And the thing that's frustrating is just the basketball IQ, the decision-making part by these guys. I know things aren't going to work all the time offensively. Sometimes layups will be missed. Sometimes you miss free throws. But just some of the fouls committed, some of the lack of closeouts, they've been coached to do better than that. I'm going to side with the coach here. And Fred just has to endure. But here's Coach Hoiberg, his initial thoughts.
Yeah, obviously you don't have to look too much further than the turnovers and the free throw shooting tonight. Disappointing. I thought we played hard. I thought we really did. I thought we were active defensively, forcing 16 steals and forcing 20 turnovers. Very uncharacteristic, turning the ball over 21 times, a lot of those unforced. And then obviously the free throws. I mean, it's contagious. I've been around this game long enough. When you miss a few early, it just seems to get in everybody's head and tempo gets quick and don't trust your stroke. And that's it's hard. We've been shooting better. I think the last five games, not setting the world on fire, but over 60, I think about 65%. You know, so to have a night like this where you make a couple more, you're on the winning end, which would have been great for our fans. They've been phenomenal for us all season. Continuing to show up. We know it's not like that most arenas when you're struggling like we are, and on a slide like we are, to continue to fill the seats and continue to come in and support the team the way that our fans do with positivity.
That's the thing that sticks out, and you've had a lot of commentary on the Nebraska fan base. You're still at 15,000 plus a game attendance-wise, and that was your last hurrah at PBA for the 2019-2020 season. So you Nebraska fans are incredible. You're awesome. This isn't to stroke you. This is just an observation as to your passion and how bad you want it. I appreciate you for sticking through that because, man, it's been hard to watch. It's been harder to coach, and it's been even harder to probably play and keep your head up. Lijah, you were doing some video there, man, and you put a run together. It looks like you're in control. You're up 47-41, and then next thing you know, you just got quite a few fouls. Now, the news of the day was going to be 8 for 30 on free throws, but J.D. Spielman said, hold my beer on that. So I guess you got that going. But, you know, I think Nebraska will keep playing hard. I don't think they are going to win again, and that's not a huge shocking take. But, man, it's just – I know it gets in their head, but they just got to be better. And it's mental, and that's – free throws are physical, yes, but they're more so mental. And Nebraska's had an issue all year from a basketball standpoint. They've never quit. They've never given up. But when things get tough, man, they've not responded in winning ways. And that was, again, evident on Sunday.
I mean, how often do you hear when you're watching sports, like, oh, I could do it better than that? And you're like, okay, man. Like, you're 40.
I sucked at basketball. I still suck at basketball. And I'm going to be that guy that says, yeah, I won the eighth grade Irving free throw contest, shooting contest at hoops night or whatever. I have that trophy somewhere.
I think I could go better than 8 for 30.
I polish it daily.
I mean, better than 8 for 30, just keep the elbow in. Come on. 8 for 30 is something where it's like you're
schooling.
Could
you call timeout? Could you call timeout and make him run suicides?
Make him go run stairs through the fans. That'd be hilarious.
Next dude who misses this, you're running.
Oh, but I mean, seriously, like, these guys are getting their schooling paid for, and they go 8 for 30, and I don't want to – they're better at basketball than I'll ever be, so I don't want to talk too poorly on them, but 8 for 30 is one of the most pathetic performances I've ever seen from a Nebraska sport across any level, across any – I mean, football, basketball, baseball, anything. 8 for 30 from the free throw line is one of the most pathetic performances I've ever seen.
People just rave, and people are, like, offended. They are offended by that number. They are incensed by that number. So how does Nebraska regroup for Michigan Thursday, cut five? Here's the mayor about the team finishing.
I mean, we just got to keep going out and trying to get our guys' mentality right. And, you know, I give our guys credit all year long. They've come out, and for the most part, I've played with great effort. And that's what we'll continue to try to do. We've got two tough road games at Michigan and Minnesota to finish, and then we'll have a really tough game in the Big Ten tournament. But, you know, we're going to go out and continue to fight, you know, hopefully shock somebody.
We'll see where Nebraska goes with that. See if they keep fighting. I anticipate they will. We'll spend some more time here on the J.D. Spielman news, no longer with the program temporarily. We'll talk to Charlie McBride, get his thoughts on Spielman, on Frost, on the Davis twins. That's coming up here in about 10 minutes. We're here at Bellevue West. The Thunderbird logo is just in front of me. Guys are warming up right now. Going to have a great showdown tonight, Southeast on the road for districts against Bellevue West. Bellevue West is an incredible basketball team and one of your favorites for state. Southeast right there trying to play spoiler and get in. We'll wind down hour one here on the road at Bellevue West. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Winding down this first hour here, Hail Varsity Radio. We're at Bellevue West here. Roadshow Monday ahead of Lincoln Southeast. Bellevue West boys district basketball. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. And give us a find on Twitter at Schmidt_radio, at Herbel Essences. And a reminder to buckle up. Seatbelts prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to the driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. What have we hit on today? We've talked J.D. Spielman temporarily away from the Nebraska football program. We've spent time on 8 for 30 from free throws. We will talk to Coach McBride about his free throw shooting. Clearly, he's interested in that. In all honesty, though, what about Luke McCaffrey? What does McCaffrey do this spring? And he's a guy that is in the mix for a quarterback race, right? If you're Adrian, you got to go win the job. and it's going to be an open competition. Wonderful. But with McCaffrey, he had flashes throwing the football. Really awesome runner in the offense, and he's been big as a wide receiver. He's a guy that can catch the football and help you. We talk about wide receiver it being razor thin, especially now after you lose Spielman. How do you move forward? All right, let's fire up some Zach Brown. Adios, as Zach Brown and his talented group in town at PBA. God, that was fun, man. Saturday night was great. Got done with the North Star game. Found a way down. Shout out to Uncle Nate for his help finding parking. And it was awesome. Incredible show. He played the hits, played some new stuff, played some covers. And I can't say how thoroughly enjoying it was. I can't put into words, and I'm supposed to, what I watched and what I heard and how I smiled, how it made my weekend, because Zach Brown and his mates are so incredible at what they do. You kind of get slapped in the face at some point in life where you're like, man, that was great. And you throw the term great around, but I was witnessing greatness Saturday night with how incredible they sound live. You can throw on your phone or crank up something on vinyl and just kind of be wowed by what you're hearing, moved by music. But it was really awesome. Got a chance to take my wife. She endured it because she was sitting next to me. But otherwise, man, I was blown away. And I've seen Zach a couple, three times. Elijah, is that the first time you saw him?
That was my first time. I had a blast. I just had a great time. As you said, it was just a smile on my face all night, singing along. He did some awesome covers, which really got the fans who didn't know Zach Brown into it. And I don't know, all around, I really had a great time.
What'd you think of Circles?
What do you mean?
His cover.
Oh, I wasn't my favorite cover that he did. I really liked his Eminem cover at the end. That was sweet. And then the Kings of Leon cover.
Yeah, that was all right. I thought his Desperado cover was money.
Oh, that was great. That was a good one.
And he had a throwback to old school country that was good, too. Don't Even Know My Name. Pretty good.
And I mean, well, who hates chicken fried? That was awesome.
No, that was incredible. And last time he was at PBA, he honored military veterans who've served. And that is undefeated. Saying thanks to our men and women in uniform. And he did it right, as always. Coach McBride is up next. Mondays with Charlie. Mr. Blackshirt weighs in on a lot of Husker football topics. We're a week away from spring ball. Hail Varsity continues.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, it's Hour 2 at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery here at Bellevue West, as we are ahead of high school basketball, the district final tonight. Lincoln Southeast on the road against Bellevue West, one of the top teams in the state. Bell West, an incredible squad. Chucky Hepburn and the crew are poised for another state championship. I'm scanning the gymnasium right now, and all I see is championship banners and championship banners. And well, it probably looks like Coach McBride's basement. We welcome in to Hail Varsity Radio a Monday with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt Charlie McBride. Coach, how we doing Monday?
Oh, I don't know. This basement is not quite got it.
Okay, so maybe it's not your basement, well, but your Husker den. With remnants of championships.
The ice is breaking up on the lake, so I don't know what that means. But
it's getting warmer, thankfully.
Yeah, it's getting better. Finally see the sun a little bit.
That is good. Well, Coach, we were going to, and we'll still talk about spring ball. It's a week away, but the news of the day is J.D. Spielman, the talented wide receiver from Minnesota. His dad, of course, the general manager with the Vikings. His uncle, a great linebacker for years at Ohio State and then for the Lions. And I want to kind of get your thoughts here on J.D. Spielman as he's taken a leave in absence. He is no longer with the program, but he is not off the team. He is home for health reasons. What do you see when you read the statement and when you kind of compute what's going on here? Another departure. 9 scholarship guys have been gone since the first of the year.
Well, I think a lot of guys are seeing, people come in, and, the one thing is that you always have to be aware of is any time you bring in junior college players, I think they realize that they're coming in to start. I mean, that's what you're recruiting them for when they're, that age. And sometimes it can be pretty tough on, kids mentally. And, a lot of them aren't strong enough yet. I mean, you got to compete, and that's the thing. If you're good, and you think you're good, then you got to compete. And otherwise, if you don't think you're good enough, you've already told yourself you're probably not good enough to go on and be something at another program, be a great player, or whatever at another program.
Spielman competed at a really, really high level for Nebraska. Redshirted in 2016, had a ton of yards as a redshirt freshman, Riley's last season. And then 2 really good years for Nebraska. Didn't have as many catches last year. But, man, when it's time to kick off on a Saturday, Spielman plays hurt, he plays tough, he plays through things. He's really the only known consistent quantity that Nebraska had on offense. Now, Nebraska has some talent that you just touched on coming in at wide receiver, but they've not played at the Big Ten level. Spielman's been great against some of the Big Ten's best teams. How do you go about this, Coach, as a coach, when you got guys that are thinking about leaving or do need some time away? How do you handle that? Because you want the kid to play, but you also have the kid's well-being in kind of, first and foremost in your mind.
I think the biggest is communication between, and it's usually the head coach. Mm-hmm. It can be an assistant, but, when it's the bottom line, it's the head coach. And I know when people left, Coach Osborne wanted to be sure that he got to talk to them before they left. He wanted to always be sure that they're leaving on good grounds, and if there's a problem, he wanted to know about it. And I think that that's probably where you start. The other thing is I think with this transfer rule and all these things, it's going to turn into a lot of heartbreaks for a lot of, a lot of teams that aren't really winning or on top of things, and so it's going to take a monumental effort. If a player's not in mentally, not with the program, it's not probably not good that they're around, because they're a lot of times looking for an excuse or they're looking for a reason. And I think a lot of times that they look at this NFL and you're looking for a place where they're going to throw the football all the time. And he may be thinking about transferring up to Minnesota or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They have a pro quarterback there, guy that's going to end up being a, probably an NFL prospect. And you never know, and that's home. And so you don't know how that's going to turn out. And, they may be trying to do it lower the boom easily, and that's just a thought. I mean, I don't know the answers to that, but I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of schools, if the player's out of state, that are going to be working them. I mean, when they come back home and they do this and that, this transfer rule is going to turn into something that, it's not going to be healthy for, college football. I think probably the rule that they had before, if you had your, you know, the real rule was if they didn't have the major and so on and forth when you went into your master's program and you had another year that, you know, you could transfer. And, of course, that's a bunch of baloney. You know,
the old grad transfer. It's just let me go to a better team my last year. It's kind of what it is.
That's right. And, you know, and I'm sure that, you know, when Wilson transferred to Wisconsin, he may have had a reason, but I think he probably had. That wasn't the.
I don't think him and the NC State coach got along too well. That was a mistake.
So, but anyway, that, you know, there's so many things that. You know, now with them wanting to have, you know, their names out there and, you know, and basically sell themselves, you know, and, you know, that's going to turn into a can of worms. And I think
so. We've got a couple of big-time headaches we're talking about. The ability to freely transfer and the ability for college kids to go make money off their own name as a player. And I'm not begrudging college kids or players to be able to do what they want or have freedom, but it's going to turn into a headache for the coaches, isn't it?
I can see transferring, but you better sit a year.
Gotcha.
You know, if you go back to that thing, that shuts a lot of that stuff down. And, you know, if you're going to transfer and you want to go somewhere, then you go to a different conference. You know, you go to a different level of football, too. And but what they're doing is they're catering to the players, and they're, you know, they look at the universities you know, they're putting out all this money and everything, and they're having alumni and so forth donate money for scholarships, and these kids are bailing out, and pretty soon those people are going to stop saying, hey, wait a second, you know, I don't want to be giving scholarships, and kids, you know, maybe my money is going to somebody that's, you know, transferring out of there. And so, there's a lot of things underneath that people aren't looking at, you know, that just think, well, it's easy, for this and that. And I think a lot of the players think that somebody owes them something. Well, you know, that they're getting, you know, some bad advice. And none of them are going to go anywhere unless they work their tails off. You know, I mean, you find that out quick. And, you know, I look at the, you know, I mean, I watch the combine and watch the stuff and kind of watch the, you know, some of the players that, you know, are there, and probably some of them shouldn't even be there. And that's because, you know, the coach and them, there's a connection somewhere along the way, you know, that, you know, they're getting in there. And I know in the past when they only had 200 players go, now all of a sudden you're seeing 300 plus, and probably that's a little over the top. So
Coach, I want to get your thoughts on Carlos and Khalil Davis, kids out of the Kansas City region, 4-year players for Nebraska, the Davis twins.
Right.
And man, oh man, did they impress! Two of the best 40 times for 300 pounders. Bench press was impressive. And what do you think of them at the next level?
That goes right there. What they did was that'd be the number one thing I think of. The character part of it, they pass.
You're
the grade, the intelligence part of it, they're going to pass. You know, and so That's the biggest thing. I think that they both have pretty good work habits, I think, and you know, from what I can understand. And I think that's important. And those things in their background now are going to be things that really come out. And I think they did show their athletic ability and other drills and things like that. So their chances are pretty good. And you know, because I think a lot of the owners are getting a little tired with some of these guys that, you know, bang around on their chest and, you know, are kind of thinking that somebody, like I said before, somebody owes them something. I think a lot of those owners and coaches and so forth you know, are getting a little tired with that kind of stuff. So there'll be some of them that'll, you know, that'll get there just because they're so good, you know, that they can't afford to let them slide by, and that because that's the NFL. And, you know, that can help and that can hurt, but that's just the way it is. Business is business.
Coach, you want to get your thoughts here before we say goodbye, and we'll ramp up next Monday for a whole kind of spring preview topic. But I look at Luke McCaffrey. You watched him play last year for Nebraska in his four games. And Luke came in and did a few things at quarterback, but Luke can also play wide receiver. What do you do if you're Coach Frost with McCaffrey now that you're so thin at wide receiver? I mean, you've got kids that are supposed to come in and be pretty talented. That said, McCaffrey at least got, you know, his four games. You also have Wandale Robinson back. Do you take him out of that quarterback competition and split his time at wide receiver, or you just keep him at quarterback? What do you do from a personnel decision?
Well, I think that right now is, you know, to me, that's up to the individual player. I mean, sure. you know, if you can't just put him somewhere you don't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I think you have to go easy. And if you lose him, you're gonna lose what you call a real thing that helps your program. I mean, that kid is he's something special. And if you don't treat him that way, and I mean, he can handle it, but. You know, a kid with that kind of ability, I think, knowing his family, I think he'll do what they want him to do. And I don't, I can't see him backing away from being a receiver. You know, of course, his dad was one, and his dad may have been a quarterback. Who knows? You know, so there may be a lot of stuff in his background that, you know, that tells him that. And I think that. You know, the same thing goes at Michigan with his brother. You know, he could play defensive back. Those kids, you know, they're athletes, and they'll do what they're supposed to do. But the thing is important is you can't move somebody that just flat doesn't want to go. You know, move there. Mm-hmm. And I think Crouch was a good example when he went to the NFL. He wanted to be a quarterback, and he didn't want any part of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was tried something else, he didn't have his heart in it.
Sure.
So,
Charlie McBride's with us Mondays with Charlie. Coach, a quick thought: what did you watch any of the Nebraska basketball game?
No, I some of them. Yeah, I've watched some of them. They've really played. To me, they're defensively. I've always been really impressed with, you know, how they hustle and they really work at it. You know, they can do nothing but go up, and I think they will. They got the right coach, and I think as long as, you know, there's not a lot of movement there that they really work at the program, I think they can handle it.
Pretty good stuff. Well, they went 8-for-30 from the free throw line yesterday.
Yeah, well, you're talking about me, did you say, when I was
no,
in high
no, no,
school?
No, 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 I'm asking if you how you were at the free throw line. That's where I was going.
Well, that's something that comes when you're recruiting. I mean, I think kids that are good at it are good at it in high school, you know, and if they weren't good at it there, then you got to be careful.
Yes, you
know, because I don't know if a college kid can overnight change.
No, I know. Coach, we'll let you be. Thanks for jumping on with us and talking some football.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week.
That sounds good, Coach.
Have fun down there.
Will do. You take care.
Okay. You bet. Bye now.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie, Coach McBride. We'll spend some time with Jacob Padilla, football and hoops. Tony Romo's payday is on our mind. And we're here at Bellevue West Roadshow Monday ahead of the district final. Bellevue West and Southeast coming up at 7 as we'll wind down this second hour.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio Roadshow Monday. We're here at Bellevue West as some of the Thunderbirds getting a few jumpers launched up. Elijah Herbel's back at our studios in Lincoln. And tonight at 7, we'll have Southeast and Bellevue West on ESPN Lincoln. Many thanks to Charlie McBride and Jay Moore. And we'll spend a few minutes talking about our dear friend Jeremiah Searles. He announced his retirement from the NFL about 15 minutes ago. So, you know, best wishes to him as he moves forward. And what a run it's been for him in the NFL. We say hi to Jacob Padilla from HailVarsity.com and Magazine. Nothing like a busy Monday, Jacob. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Ready? How about you?
I'm good, man. I'm going to get your thoughts on some of the district action tonight. Of course, I couldn't pry out of McBride how many free throws he would hit out of 30 attempts. I will ask you that in a moment. But I'm interested to talk some football here, and you do a great job of covering hoops, and you do a great job of covering volleyball. You also are locked in on football. And, you know, with the Spielman news here, how do you view it? And I don't think he comes back. I wish him well. I just think there was just a disconnect. I think the way the conversation was put out with the statement, and, you know, Nebraska did the right thing in wishing JD the best. The reaction has kind of been, oh, no, this is the only known quantity offensively that's coming back, the high level of consistency. But, you know, it's still kind of phrased, hey, the door is open if he is back. I just don't see that happening. I don't know if he plays football again. My gut, with no inside information, is I think he'll try and go play somewhere else. That's kind of the feel I have.
Yeah, it's just kind of a weird situation. And the rumors have been circulating about him for a long time now. I'm not quite sure how the story ends. Like you said, I don't know how often a player leaves a team for a time and then comes back, and it just kind of picks things up where he left off. So I think at this point you have to operate assuming that he won't be back, but they did leave the door open, so just kind of keep that in mind. Obviously this places a lot of importance on guys like Omar Manning and Xavier Betts and making sure those guys take care of business and get to campus and then hit the ground running once they do get here. Obviously, they've got four scholarship wide receivers, plus if you want to toss in Cade Warner there, that gives you five guys to go through the spring with. So that's not ideal. Obviously, they got a handful of walk-ons that will just help in terms of numbers and getting through drills and everything. But some big opportunities for some young guys there, and it'll be interesting to see kind of what this offense looks like once they hit the fall next year. It was always kind of like, I think, a strange fit with the way Nebraska's receivers kind of fit together last year and fit into the office and into the offense. And it seemed like Wandale Robinson and J.D. Spielman, kind of their skill sets kind of overlapped a little bit. And it seemed like J.D. kind of got pushed outside maybe a little bit more and wasn't necessarily in the slot as much as he had been, which is where he had his most success. So I don't know if this means that Wandale Robinson will kind of slide into JD's role and kind of really take over that spot, and maybe he's in for a big sophomore year. Obviously, that's what you're hoping for. Mm-hmm. But obviously, there's still a lot up in the air, and we'll kind of see what they do with the transfer portal. And it's a long time until kick off that for that first time in the fall.
Jacob Padilla is joining us, HailVarsity.com and magazines, where you read Jacob at Jacob Padilla _ on Twitter. And I mean, you've got a laundry list of wideouts that have come and gone. You've got a slew of guys that are supposed to come in that could be good. You've got a new wide receivers coach in Lubick, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that things could be okay. It just doesn't feel like it right now if you're a Nebraska fan with Spielman. And, I mean, you've heard the narrative a lot from Coach Frost on, you know, my guys or the Riley regime or, I mean, the culture topic of conversation. And while people are maybe sick of hearing about that, I don't know that it's not accurate that you just have a different style of doing things, the way Frost and his staff go about things versus what they inherited. And you just maybe, and I know it's a health issue, that's what's been deemed. So we want JD to get healthy. That being said, man, I just wonder if there's too big a disconnect with how things were done versus how things are supposed to be done now, as to you look at the exodus specifically with the wide receiver numbers.
Yeah, and obviously almost the entire roster is are guys that he and his staff have brought in now. There's only a handful of, especially guys that are playing, a handful of contributors and key players that he inherited. So I really do hope that we don't hear that a single time this next season in terms of guys not buying in or the culture not being right or any of that stuff, any of those talking points that I know fans were kind of tired of hearing game after game, because it seemed like, well, if that's a problem, why don't you just do something about it versus just talking about it constantly? Mm-hmm. So hopefully now they're in a position, they're completely starting over, new coach, almost an entirely new receiver room, able to build this kind of up into what they want it to be, and they're going to have to be relying on some newcomers, obviously, some young guys to step up and play big roles right away. And the last couple of years, there's been a couple guys here and there, like a Wandale or whatever, that is able to play right away, but they're going to have to find a way to get these guys on the field and make them productive. They can't just kind of automatically redshirt a bunch of these guys and kind of look towards next year. They got to get going right now, and they need to find a way to allow these young guys to make an impact early in their careers.
Jacob, let's switch gears to Nebraska basketball. Vegas said it was going to be tight. It went overtime. You've covered a lot of basketball. Have you seen anything like that yesterday when it comes to the free throws? And Nebraska had a lead, lost a lead, and just how that thing fell apart towards the end?
No, I've never seen something quite that bad in terms of the free throws.
The way you're measured with saying that, I mean, you don't want to be hurtful, but man, you watch, you eat, sleep, and drink basketball, and you're like, bro, I've not seen anything. There's so much weight to your words.
Yeah, it got to the point where, like, any time a guy drew a foul, you just kind of, like, held your breath. You just kind of face-palmed automatically. It's like, dang it, can't you just get through and get the bucket up here or whatever? Because you knew the chances are of getting points out of it were not good. I think there were 12 opportunities. They went to the free throw line with a chance to either tie or take the lead, like 12, and they just could not make the shots. And that's exactly how their record is what it is this year. And it just seems like any time they figure one area out, something else falls apart. Like they made 12 threes in the game. They shot 38% from three. So they had a pretty good shooting percentage from that standpoint, but gave it all back in the free throw line and didn't finish well at the rim either. So I wrote a story today about just kind of looking back at the home schedule as a whole. Now that it's complete, they went 5-11, which is the first time since 1972-73 that they finished below 500 at home. They went 4-5 that year. So this is just like with a 14-game losing streak now and a 20-loss season, this is some kind of historic stuff Nebraska's going through right now in terms of futility. But you look at those numbers and their home and road performance isn't all that different, like shooting-wise, which isn't good. You need to be able to play better at home, especially in this conference where the Big Ten has just been so strong at home outside of Nebraska and Northwestern. But the one big difference that I noticed was the free throw shooting. They're actually worse at home than on the road from the free throw line, where on the road you've got student section in your head, you got everybody making noise. At home, you just kind of got everybody quiet during your free throws, and it's just you and the basket, and they weren't able to hit him, although that is kind of skewed a little bit by the game yesterday, which dropped their home free throw percentage a full 3 points almost just by that one game. They were worse from the free throw line at home to begin with, but you drop that and they're a good 5 percentage points worse and at home than on the road. And you can't, that just can't happen. You get in a friendly home court whistle and you can't convert that into points. That's how you end up losing as many games as they did, and how you don't protect home court, which that's got to be a one-year thing. They've got to find a way to turn that around next year.
Jacob, what are you eyeing tonight on the high school docket? A lot of district finals between tonight and tomorrow night.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to, still trying to decide, but I think I'm probably going to head over to Creighton Prep against Grand Island. I was there the last game that overtime game winner by Isaac Trout there at the buzzer. There's a heck of a game the first time around, so I'm kind of interested in looking at that one to kind of see how this round goes. I know you've got the Lincoln Southeast against Bellevue West. That could be interesting, see how Ajante Hogan, what he's able to do kind of against Bell West, all the guys they've got. They've got some shooters for Southeast, so guys are hitting shots, and Ajante's on. They'll have a chance to make that competitive, but Bellevue West is playing at a pretty high level right now heading into the postseason.
Gretna and Central. I was surprised that Gretna got it done on the road against North Star.
I actually wasn't too terribly surprised, just knowing Beacon and
really
Hurd over there.
Awesome.
That coaching staff, those two working together is as good as it comes in Nebraska. And defensively, I knew they were going to throw some stuff out there, some zone, and really make things difficult, try to kind of goad North Star into taking the wrong kind of shots. And I was not there, so I didn't get to see exactly how it played out. But I wasn't too terribly surprised to see them able to get that done. Now trying to do the same thing against Central is going to be a little bit different story. They're going to have a really good shooting day from the three-point line if they want to be able to keep up with Central, as high-paced, high-powered as they are. But that was a heck of a win for Gretna, and a good job by those guys executing their game plan.
You got about 30 seconds. An early feel with Pius and South tomorrow?
That should be one of the fun ones. Omaha South. Jay Saunders is just playing at a ridiculously level right now. Put up 40, got to the free throw line 20 times in their last game there to get that win, triple overtime against Benson. It's going to be tough for Pius to kind of slow those guys down, but I don't know, if you get a hot shooting day from Colby Rada and the Easley twins, Pius has shown they've got the ability to beat some good teams this year. So that, I haven't decided where I'm going tomorrow, but that is definitely one I'm strongly considering.
Jacob, thanks for checking in, bud.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
All right, gear it up here for Bellevue West and Southeast. We're here at the Bellevue West Gym. That giant purple Thunderbird with the lightning bolt. Now, I'm scanning the gym, and at the north end of the basketball court, it's really cool. There's a gold W where the student sections will be. I have not seen a picture of Mark Kranak here. I have not seen. There's no, maybe he's in the Hall of Fame. I hope he's in the Hall of Fame, but I've not seen Kranak at all. Someday maybe, if not. But there are banners up here for wrestling, for basketball, of course, baseball state champs in 1978. And should be awesome here. Southeast making their way up I-80 and then Highway 75. And should be a good one here for the District 1A final.
Really
who's
fast.
Heading to state next week. We'll have coverage here locally for all your girls' state basketball action between ESPN Lincoln and, of course, KFOR. And our friends News Talk 900 Columbus will have area team coverage. And, yes, for sure, Doug Duda, he is incredible. He'll have region coverage, Kearney Hastings, Grand Island. So full day of basketball Thursday through Saturday. Excited for that. So you're flipping through, and I know we spent plenty of time here on J.D. Spielman. It's a blow. It's a loss for Nebraska. Even if it's just temporary, I do not believe it is temporary. It's, you know what, the way you look at Spielman is a couple of different ways. One, thank you for your time in Lincoln and the performance you put forth in so many games. I mean, you would talk about a three-year run in Nebraska football where you're out of Jack Daniels. Spielman at least made the sip once in a while taste good, and Jack's good. So you know what I mean. Spielman made it a little bit bearable, maybe. I don't know. He was the lone bright spot. So what happens here? You got A, B, C. That's it. Eight choices, A, B, or C. Grad transfer, maybe, maybe not. Or if the NCAA steps forward this summer and allows transfer, one-time transfer rule, does that happen? Does JD come back this summer with his teammates? Or does he just step away from football altogether? Does he retire? I think the two guys he was closest to on the football team, Tony Butler. Butler's a good dude. Javon McQuitty taking a medical. That was announced today. The two guys he's closest with are no longer in the program. And you just wonder if he was frustrated or happy. He's taking some time. But taking time is one thing. Taking time away from your coaches and teammates is another. And I think that distance is an issue. And if you're a Nebraska fan and Spielman is done and doesn't play football again, you're going to be like, dude, best to you. Thanks for everything. If Spielman ends up playing somewhere else somehow, then I think you're going to be a ticked off Nebraska fan base. And listen, my take on it is he's gone, and if he plays again, he'll that's his prerogative. There are different fits, and I honestly believe that you've got a guy in Spielman that's got a lot of good football left in him. Does he want to tap into it? You've got options at wide receiver. How quickly can you get guys up to speed, Coach Lubick? And how vital, very, is it for a guy like Omar Manning and Xavier Betts to get in and then ball? Alante Brown and Fleming and Wandale and Cade Warner and Nance and Houston. You've got plenty of bodies, but that microscope now was already like in the region of the wide receivers. Now it's squarely on. I mean, you're sharing the microscope with quarterback and now wide receiver, Elijah.
Yeah, I mean, somebody's got to step up in these young guys, because I think as a Husker fan, you got to be ready that Spielman isn't coming back. It's the writing's on the wall. He's left the team now. He left at a time where usually guys aren't leaving the team whenever they're planning on coming back, right before spring practices are gonna kick off. So I think the Husker fans need to prepare, and the receivers in the room as well need to prepare that Spielman isn't going to be back, and somebody's got to step up. Because right now, Omar Manning and Wandale Robinson are the two guys, next you look at, they go, okay, they're the receivers. Who are going to be two or three guys to step up to come in and fill in next to them, or fill in and be the guy who comes in whenever those guys need to break on the sideline, you know?
Absolutely. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800, 825-5865, numbers to get in. Can email Chris at HaleVarsity.com. Do you worry about the offense without Spielman? And I do, but this, if you get an Adrian Martinez that comes in and is healthy first and foremost, and is it a weight from an athleticism standpoint that allows him to be a bit shiftier, and you get a willing runner in Adrian Martinez, your offense can be okay. You've got guys to throw the football to. You just don't have guys in the offense right now that have done it at a high level against the Big Ten's best. And he's done it against Ohio State. He's done it against Wisconsin. He put his Superman cape on, Spielman did, against Illinois. And he really made a ton of plays for you against Indiana. Think of his two Colorado games. I mean, you had a hell of a throw by Adrian, but JD got deep twice for big-time explosive play touchdowns in this Nebraska offense. You know, I think he's probably bummed out. A couple of his teammates are no longer here. I don't think he's super happy in Lincoln. And I think he went home to talk it over with his folks. And I think he's not coming back. I don't think he's done with football. I think he'll find his way onto another roster if that transfer rule goes through. I don't know where he's at academically as far as being a grad transfer, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't try and make that happen. You know, based on what we were hearing, I don't think he was able to graduate and become a grad transfer. But if you get the one-time transfer deal, that supersedes that. Am I reading that right, Elijah? I mean, if the NCAA passes this legislation, then JD could go play somewhere else.
Yeah, he'd be able to go play immediately next fall.
Yeah.
If the legislation gets passed. I'm not sure if he does just decide to sit out for next year. Does that take a year of his eligibility?
Well, he doesn't. I mean, he only has 1 year left. He redshirted in 2016.
I mean, but if he were to, I'm saying, take a year away from football and not even be on a roster next year. How would that work?
Well, you wouldn't use the eligibility up. That'd be interesting. That's a good angle. I don't know that you'd do that, would you?
I don't know if you would, but is it a possibility?
Could you just, like, step away and not do anything school-wise?
And not use up your eligibility, and then would you be able to come back and play immediately after that?
I don't know.
I guess I don't know. I'm not an NCAA rules expert.
No one is, not even them. We'll talk about $17 million a year, what it can buy you. We'll wind down a Monday. Hail Varsity continues on the road here at Bellevue West, ahead of Southeast and the T-Birds. Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
One final time here at Bellevue West, a road show Monday. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Elijah Herbel. Coach Jeff Smith en route. We'll have high school boys basketball district final tonight. Bellevue West and Lincoln Southeast a little before 7. So check that out if you like. A reminder about your friends at West Blue Realty 2020, the year to make that move. And West Blue Realty specializes in home sales around Lincoln and surrounding areas. For a limited time, you mentioned Hail Varsity, and West Blue Realty can provide up to $1,000 on the closing of your next home purchase. Tom Luby, that guy can hit free throws, 402-540-3768. Kelly Hofsnyder, Kelly's just lethal from three. So you got three-point shooting and free throws, and they can help you find a great house. That's incredible. Kelly's phone number at 402-202-2312. It pays to work with West Blue, westbluerealty.com. And do you have agricultural land? I'm sure you do. If you want to sell it, West Blue is the place to go. They have everything for you when it comes to an auctioneer or live auctions or sealed bids and land listings. They can take care of it all. They've sold land in Lancaster, Odo, and Seward counties. They can help you out. westbluerealty.com. 1120 K Street, Suite 200. When you're in Lincoln, or if you're in Lincoln, and if you're down for the state tournament, go by and see them. Best commercial I just saw is Gatorade's Michael Jordan, the young Jordan, the age of 23 Jordan, and the 39-year-old Jordan, and they're playing one-on-one. It's awesome. I just retweeted it at Schmidt_radio, and to give Elijah a follow as well at Herbal Essence on Twitter. Follow Hail Varsity and at ESPN Lincoln as well. Some SoundCloud items coming up from today's interviews with Coach McBride, Jacob Padilla, and Jay Moore. And the ESPN Lincoln On Demand will have those interviews in the podcast at HailVarsity.com or iTunes. You maybe saw this in Mike Sauter reporting that Millard North wing Hunter Salas will unofficially visit Kansas. He will visit Kansas on Wednesday. Mike Sauter also reporting that North Star guard, and we saw Donovan with Dana Altman visiting him on Saturday, not seeing him obviously, but there to watch him. You have Donovan Williams visiting Kansas on Wednesday unofficially. So you have Nebraska's four-star, a four-star and a five-star that Bill Self is like, come on down. I don't know that we can get Snoop to play again, but we're pretty good at basketball. That's pretty awesome for Salas and Donovan Maybe they can carpool, Elijah.
Down to Kansas?
Yes.
Well, I mean, Donovan did tweet out, we're in tune.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever talking about Hunter, so how much of a coup would that be for Kansas to come into Nebraska and probably get the two best players that have ever been here in the past 20 years?
I'm going to be an a-hole and say they don't need it.
They don't, but, I mean, they can.
Yeah.
They have full ability to. That'd be just be a sign of where Kansas is at and where Nebraska's at right now, wouldn't it?
Yep. About an hour from now, we'll get you ready here pregame on ESPN Lincoln. Going to have Millard West. Or not. How about Bellevue West? I will be sober, I promise, shortly. Bellevue West, Southeast, coming up. Catch the podcast. Elijah, thanks for checking in, brother.
Had a good time.